Rock and Roll Bedtime Stories. My name is Brian.
And I'm Murdoch, and you're listening to a bonus episode.
And we're digging in the mailbag, specifically for stories about music festivals. If you've been listening to the show recently, you know that we have the opportunity to send someone and a guest to Louder Than Life. It's an amazing music festival. It happens in our town, in Corn. And Slayer and Motley Crue and, you know, lots of other bands are going to be there. You can be there, too. We're just asking you to tell us a story. You know, we're usually the story guys. We're telling you something. We're like, listen, let's turn the tables. Tell us about the fun, crazy, great, terrible, whatever times that you've had at a music festival, and it could be you winning. So we have gotten a lot of letters. I thought we would just thumb through a few.
This is now the world's largest bourbon and metal festival. That is the slug underneath the name of it. So I think that people want to go to this thing.
There is bourbon. I will say that. That will happen as well. Okay, so Matt's a fan of the show. We've talked about Matt before. Matt has better mousetrap guitars. This guy makes basses for people. You remember this? So this dude knows what's up. So check out Better Mousetrap Guitars. If you're in the market to buy yourself, listen, you're no free ads, but Matt loves us, and we love Matt, so we're just going to go ahead and say, if you are in the market for a custom guitar, I don't know, throw him a line, find him, Better Mousetrap Guitars. Here's what he says, Matt. Hey guys, still been really enjoying the shows. Brian's reaction to the Stevie Wonder search slayed me, and I wanted to reach, thank you, wanted to reach out and throw my hat in the ring for the Louder Than Life wristbands. Okay, cool, man. Back in early 2018, I just finished putting the wraps on Evil Twin, the third bass that I was to make for Aaron Bruch of Breaking Benjamin. And I reached out to see if it would be cool to plan on heading down to Columbus to deliver it to him at Rock on the Range.
Sonic Temple.
Rock on the Range. Like, yeah. Close. Aaron was immediately stoked because he wanted a new instrument, and we agreed to plan on that. One of the most amazing perks of building for Aaron has been that he has been able to get me into their shows to hang out with them and their crew. And being able to say, I'm on the list, when you walk up to the ticket window, never gets old. I will agree that that is very true. Murdoch and I have done that a lot in our careers, and it is nice. I never am like, oh, man, I have to get free tickets again. As things got a little closer, I started checking out the concert details, and one of the items in the fine print was no instruments allowed, which definitely tossed a monkey wrench into the works. Finding this, I pinged Aaron and asked if he had any ideas, and he told me he'd figure something out and get back to me in a few days. 2 days later, as promised, I get a text from the guy from Breaking Benjamin, and he says, I've got a plan. You're going to bring the bass and come to this hotel, and then we'll hop on the tour bus, and you can just ride into the venue with us. Now,
sweet.
After I needed to get a spatula to get my jaw up off the floor... Matt's also a good writer. I'd confirmed that I indeed heard this correctly, and the plan was set. So the day rolls around. We head to the hotel we're told to go to. We meet Aaron, his lovely wife, Kara. We meet Sean, Keith, Jason, all of them, a few of their crew. They basically become family. We deliver the bass. Seriously, and he sends pictures, so I can see pictures. We hop on the bus, and we go to the show. Driving through the throngs of people and seeing everyone get jazzed about the festival had the most contagious energy to it. Being backstage was also one of the coolest experiences. I got to head over to 10 Years Tour Bus and meet all of those guys. Got to hand the bass off on stage in front of a bajillion people. They actually brought him on stage to hand the bass over.
Oh.
Watched a heap of amazing bands, including Alice in Chains and more... And more than I can recall, he says, had Billy Howerdell walk about 5 feet away from me with Aaron having to remind me to be cool, which was incredibly difficult. And so then he sends pictures of this whole experience. And so I got to say, this is a really good entry to this, right? Like, that's a very unique music festival story. We can get you around a lot of bands, man.
On the stage handing off the guitars, there's not much more.
I mean, who knows what we can hook up, but we can't hook that up. I'm going to tell you right now, that's not going to happen. That's very, very, very freaking cool. How many tour buses have you been on? You've been on some tour buses, right?
I got on Danzig's tour bus once.
Okay.
So I went to go see Danzig. It's the Thrall Demon Sweat live tour.
Why have we never talked about this? We did a whole fucking Danzig episode. Why have we not talked about this story?
No, I told you about part of it, probably not all of it. So I think it's the Thrall Demon Sweat live.
Okay.
Where they had the live mother video, and that, like, he had the tour was going well.
Okay.
And they played that non-LP track, When Death Had No Name, and I started trying to mosh with everybody, and then I had to run because I ran into someone that wanted to kill me. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I waited outside afterwards to just go meet him and shake his hand, and he was on the bus. And so you got to go walk up in the bus to say hi to him, and this guy in front of me walked onto the bus with a Guns N' Roses Use Your Illusion t-shirt and asked him to sign it. And Glenn Danzig in front of me said, "Get those fucking t-shirts off my bus." And then I went up and shook Glenn Danzig's hand, and I was like, "Hey, I'm a real big fan. It's really cool. See your show." And then as a young impressionable man, I watched the girls go right past me to get on the bus. And I was like, "This is weird. Wolverine has groupies."
Oh my God. That's an amazing story. That's an amazing story.
He is Wolverine.
Yeah. Okay. So, let's hear another one. This one comes from Brian. Brian writes the show and says, "I need just one wristband." I guess he's like making his, his claim. He also points out that he's from Knoxville, Tennessee, trying to get on your good side. So we got a Knoxville boy here.
It generally works. So.
And he's been to Louder Than Life before. He went in 2017, it looks like. But he offers some advice, which I think is sage. He says, "I only go to music festivals alone now. This is why I only need one wristband. My strategy is to go on an empty stomach, and then I support the vendors as much as I can fit in my pockets. I'll buy a meal, but I will not buy a drink. Go empty the bladder, and then it's on. Start at the back and slowly work your way to the front, not in a rude way, just slowly. And by the time headliners come on, I'm up front. The key is never give a position by going back to the bathroom. Here's the only problem, Brian. You got to hydrate. You got to make sure that you don't die. Okay? So as long as you're doing that, you got enough going in and it's not too hot. If it's hot, you got to throw that plan out, man. That's just safety. He does give us a couple of stories. He says, "I probably don't have the greatest stories, but I do have a few. Specifically at Louder Than Life in 17, Ozzy's voice was gone. He tried his best and apologized profusely, but couldn't sing a lick. Didn't matter. I respected the hell out of him even more after that. A lot of artists would have just canceled, and that would have been worse. Zach kicked ass. It was a great show anyway, and that's the only time I've gotten to see Ozzy." All right, it's pretty good. Then he says he went to Rockville in 15. "This was my first major rock festival in Jacksonville, Florida. After a long rain delay, waiting under the interstate bridge, the crowd was pumped when the show started back up. Everyone sprinted back to get a good spot. My girlfriend and I were about 10 deep from the stage when Slayer came on. And suddenly, there was a massive surge from behind, unlike anything I had experienced ever, pushing everyone into a tightly compressed mass of humans. I was so worried that she would fall and get trampled, and then I realized that it was physically impossible for anyone to fall because we were packed so tightly together with all these sweaty, nasty humans. It was great." I've had a few of those experiences. I think I've talked about the time that I went to the festival where they put Incubus on one end of the venue and they put Bonnie Raitt on the other, and nobody went to see Bonnie Raitt because it was like 2002 or 2001 or something. So it was like everybody was there to see Incubus. It was at their height. And I literally, to his point, I remember picking up my feet. I'm sure I've told the story before. And I could just pick up my feet and just keep moving with the crowd. And that we left. So I've never seen Incubus because of that. That was very scary. And I do remember one of the first shows. I had some friends in high school who I convinced to go see Third Eye Blind with me. This was the first time I ever saw Third Eye Blind. People who know me know that I love that band very much, and I've seen them a lot more than that now. And so very first show was the Blue Tour, which is their best record. And so this was 98, something like that. And I worked with there was an older girl who was probably in college who I worked with, and her boyfriend were like, "Yeah, we'll drive." It was like an hour from where I lived at the time. "We'll drive." And then me and my friend Christina went. And I do remember this moment very vividly where Christina and I were just friends, and the crowd got so packed, similar to what Brian is describing here in this letter, that I was like, "I'm not supposed to be this physically close to anyone. Especially this girl I go to school with." You know, just because you're shoved in there, right? And it was an intense, amazing experience. And then the band came on and it was amazing. That intensity of the festival crowd can get pretty crazy. Did you feel that last year at all when you were at Louder? I know you got pretty close for some of the bands.
Yeah, Yeah, and I had to move. There was a spot time where I had to get out, and I was like, oh, I can't. I can only get so close. I do have a funny super story about one of our listeners. It's okay. not in one of our listener letters. Ryan, who's a listener of ours, he lives in North Carolina. He's in the band Doomsday Prophet, a just doomy metal band. Tempo is real slow. You can kind of imagine, kind of sludgy or whatever. It's freaking awesome. Getting ready to play a gig. He's on stage and he heard someone look, say his name, and he looked over and it was coworkers. Coworkers that he's never talked about his band.
Oh.
Coworkers he doesn't ever talk about his band at work.
Oh.
Ever. And they just decided to show up and surprise. And when he was explaining, like I was reading his reel and I could hear Marge Simpson's voice going, oh no, no. And I was trying to imagine Ryan trying to explain to them, no, it's gonna get violent.
Oh man.
And they were like, oh no, we've been to these things before. And they went to the bar, had a drink, came right back down front. And I guess the singer said, everybody get the fuck up here. And then it was over. And then they got trampled. They fell over, tackled, beer bottles, everything.
Oh, wow.
And that's got to be a drag.
Well, it's always that thing, too, when you're like, who do I tell about my band? I've always been bad at self-promotion, right? I mean, there's people who know me. I'm pretty good at not talking about the podcast now. But, you know, I mean, we podcasted together for how long has it been, dude? Like going on 15 years, it's been forever.
Yeah, it's like a dozen years.
Right? And it was like people would know both of us and we would be like, oh yeah, I forgot we do this thing. And we have, you know, so like I sort of get it. It's the stakes are higher when, you know, there is possible death awaiting you by supporting me.
Right. And we don't have a podcast we can invite anyone to listen where there could be sheer injury.
Yeah. So people just start moshing you when you put the headphones on.
Or to have a Coors Banquet stabbed into your torso because you fell on it. Like, that's not going to happen right here, folks.
Oh, man. If you have a story for us, if you want to compete for these tickets, we got a few more weeks. Send us a note. It's wearethestoryguys@gmail.com and tell us your best music festival story and get in the running like Brian and Matt and the other folks who have hit us up. We appreciate you. Thank you for listening. Keep telling stories. And Murdoch, until next time, what should people keep doing?
Stories keep telling.
I mean, keep telling stories. I just wanted to see what you were going to do since I'd already said it.